Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, many of you have heard me say this before, and many of you will hear me say it again, because I'm a pastor and we repeat ourselves. In fact, even that little joke I've said before. How's that for irony? Today we have the first public actions by Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. And the fact that I just said that, some of you are immediately going, oh, Pastor has pointed out several times about looking at the first things that happen, the last things that happen, and getting an idea from those bookends of what is going on in that gospel as a whole. So today, in the Gospel of Mark, we had these first actions of Jesus, first public actions, and what were they? Healing. Healing is what's going on. We have all of these actions of healing, all of these examples of healing. What was the first healing that he did? I know it's been a long time since we read it. It's been at least 2 minutes. An unclean spirit is the first thing that happens. He casts out an unclean spirit. We have a spiritual healing, right? That's his first thing that Jesus does. What's the next thing that he does? What's his next healing? The mother-in-law, right? Simon's mother-in-law. Which, I like to point out to you, when things only show up in certain places, I believe this is the only part in the Bible where you have that little story. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. That's not where I'm going with this. My point is just that Matthew, Luke, and John decided not to talk about it. Or they didn't hear about it, or whatever. So we had the spiritual healing, and then we have this healing of Simon's mother-in-law, of Peter's mother-in-law. Which, side note, now we know that some of the disciples are married. Right? That's new information. At least it would have been to someone reading here for the first time. Not to you, because you have all read this before, and so you know these stories. So spiritual healing and then a physical healing, right? And then the whole can of worms opens up all over the place, and we've got healings to the left and to the right, days and nights, all sorts of healing going on. Right? Tells us that the whole town comes, people are bringing everyone who's sick, everyone with a demon. He's casting things out, he's curing diseases, all sorts of stuff's going on. What does it say? And the whole city gathered around the door. The whole city. Fortunately, we're not talking about like Manhattan. You know? The whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. That's another sermon for another day. Why doesn't he let them speak? I'm confused. Why do all the demons seem to know who he is? We'll talk about that another day because these readings will come back. So it was one spiritual healing, right? And then one physical healing. Then a whole bunch of spiritual and physical healings. Right? And then what comes next? Probably the one we always think of when we think about Jesus and healing. A leper. A person with leprosy. Remember having a class once, this is a side note, but it's related. Oops. I remember having a class in college once where a professor pointed out that whenever possible, you should refer to people as people. So instead of calling, in this case, instead of calling him a leper, I would call him a person with leprosy. Which is true, actually. If you think about it, words matter. What we call people matters. But the fact that we remember this man as, quote, just a leper, is actually, in some ways, very appropriate because, as I think many, if not most, if not all of you know, someone who had leprosy in this time and place would be considered not just the victim of a disease, not just someone suffering from a disease, but also someone who was ritualistically unclean. That ring a bell? Yeah. This man doesn't just have this condition. Physically, he has a social condition. He's looked upon as less than. Not just less than, he's looked upon as someone you don't want to be around. Because not only might you catch this disease from him, but you'll become a pariah like him. You've heard about, what do they call them now, the Dalit, the untouchable class in India, which officially doesn't exist anymore. Totally still exists, but officially it doesn't exist. That's what this man is experiencing. This man is a complete and total outcast. No one wants to be around him. He needs to warn people as he walks around that he's nearby. If someone stops and talks to him, let alone touching him, they're just as much a pariah. So what does this man say to Jesus? If you choose, you can what? Make me clean. If you choose, you can make me clean. That's an interesting way of saying that. He doesn't say, if you choose, you can heal me. He does not say, if you choose, you can take away this horrible disease that I'm suffering from. If you choose, you can make me clean. That's an important distinction. It's a very important distinction because this man is not asking Jesus just to heal him physically. He is asking to be welcomed back into his society. Catch the difference there? One of them is much easier than the other. That's what this man is asking. He doesn't just say, hey, Jesus, hey, great physician, put on your doctor coat. Give me the ancient equivalent of, you know, a couple of penicillin or whatever. Knock out this disease. He doesn't say, if you choose, you can heal me. He says, if you choose, you can make me clean. If you choose, you can bring me back into society. We had spiritual healings. We had physical healings. And what this man is asking for is something much more complicated, a relational healing. That's what this healing is about. Don't get me wrong. Curing the man's leprosy, kudos. That's great. Good on you. Glad you did that, Jesus. Right thing to do. But curing the man's leprosy, in many ways, that's just that's not a symptom, but I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Curing his leprosy, that's not the part by itself that's changing his life. It's curing that relational brokenness. It's bringing that man back into his society, back into his culture. What does Jesus tell the guy to do after he makes him clean? He sends him back to the priests. That's weird. He's already clean. He's sending him back to the priests so that the priests can, I hate to say it, so that the priests can do their bureaucratic thing and basically say, yes, yes, we confirm you are now welcome to be a part of the group again. If you choose, you can make me clean. Spiritual healing is great, but it's not something that each and every one of us is always capable of doing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to cast out a demon because I'm not so sure about that one. Physical healing is fantastic. I've had one cough drop today. I'm so excited. Physically healing, slowly. Physical healing is great. But not each and every one of us is a medical doctor or a nurse or a nurse's assistant or whatever other kind of healthcare professional. Although, you know, if we really get desperate, we've always got, like, Band-Aids and Neosporin. Like, we can always do that. Spiritual and physical healing is great, but relational healing is harder, and yet it is something that we are all capable of doing. Each and every one of us is capable of helping relationships to heal, our own and the relationships of others. And if you stop and think about that, isn't that part of what being a Christian is? If sin is about the self being turned inward, as Martin Luther often talked about, if sin is about selfishness, if putting ourselves first and foremost above and beyond everyone else and everything else, saying that we are the center of the universe, if that's what sin is, then sin is by definition about broken relationships. It's about our failure to connect with each other, our failure to connect with God, our failure to connect with creation. Our relationships with all of those others. Maybe even it's just that idea of thinking of them as others. And yet, that is something that each and every one of us is capable of contributing to healing about. I know how to help people talk to each other. Sometimes. I know how to help people respect one another. Relational healing is hard. I will never claim otherwise. But it's critical. And what's more, as children of God and as followers of Christ, as people who have been called to walk in His way, that is something that we can choose. Let us pray. Most good, gracious, and holy Lord, You have called us to walk in Your way and to be bearers of Your life. We ask You to help us to be brave enough in this world to stand up for justice, to stand up for compassion, to stand up for a willingness to look to others and find their merit and their worth simply as Your children. Help us to spread messages of hope. Help us to live lives of reconciliation. And help us to constantly walk in Your way, even when it's hard. We pray this, trusting in Your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.